wasn't here before with us. Be sure you do that. I'm just glad to have him here. But as I was saying, as always, you know, I think throughout the week what I'm going to talk about. You know, Johnny last week just had a wonderful lesson on joy, and I felt more joyous all week long because of his lesson. And I thought, well, what can I do? Maybe I can do something that has to do with maybe joy number two lesson. Or I thought, no, he would just be so much better than I am. I would just embarrass myself. So I thought, well, maybe something about joy, love, all those get done all the time. And I got thinking about, I was a weird child. I mean, I really was. I was a weird child when it came to things and the way I thought about things differently than most children did. You know, some people talk about thinking outside the box. I didn't even know where the box was. I mean, that's the way I thought. And so I was one of these children that some of you are going to end up having, or already do have, that was a why child. I had to know the answer. I had to know why this, why that, why. I would drive people, my teachers included, nuts with asking why. I have, even to this day, if I see a word that I don't know or don't understand, I have to look it up. Because I have to know what it means. I'm just that's just part of my personality. So I went to bed this morning last night about 11:30, you know, and I had a lesson in mind, you know, me and in the Old Testament was a couple things I was going to talk about from the Old Testament, and I woke up a little before 4 o'clock in the morning, and the Holy Spirit said, "You're going to talk about me." I said, "Oh, maybe I better not talk about you." And all of a sudden, I had this urge, this desire to speak on the Holy Spirit. And so the lesson today is called, "Uh-oh, it's the Holy Spirit. Wake me when it's over." Because when I was a kid, in my classes, whenever we came to a passage or something dealing with the Holy Spirit, it was like my teachers were scared of the Holy Spirit. It was kind of like, it was one of those things that you whisper when you, and then the, you know, did such and such. People were afraid of the Holy Spirit. They were afraid. They didn't understand the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works. And so they were afraid to deal with the Holy Spirit. And so that just made me more curious about the Holy Spirit. Because I didn't have this epiphany about 4 or 5 in the morning, I'm not going to start exactly where I normally probably would start. I'm not doing maybe an introduction, because over the next couple of times that I speak, I'm going to be dealing with the Holy Spirit. And so, the Holy Spirit, wake me when it's over, is just the attitude that I've always came across when I was growing up, when it came to time to dealing with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give you the end of the story first. I'm going to tell you what I think. And let me preface this by saying, don't listen to me. Don't take my word for it. Don't go by what I say. You need to find your own answers. I'm telling you what I think, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's what you need to think. This is what I believe. And I'm pretty sold in my heart about it. But that does not mean this is what you need to believe about the Holy Spirit. You need to get in touch with the Holy Spirit yourself and see how the Holy Spirit works through you or in you or with you in the different things that he does. And Romans chapter 8 touches on several of these things, manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But I want to start by saying that. When I'm teaching children, I'm teaching a class of younger kids about the Holy Spirit, and I found this is probably the easiest way to explain it that I found. You know, when they ask me, well, who's God? How is God and Jesus related? What about the Holy Spirit? Uh-oh. How does that figure into all of this? So, I want you to imagine, and Hank will really get into this because Hank is a fisherman. And he has a boat, he loves the water. So I imagine, as some of you that know me have probably heard me talk about this before, I imagine you're at the lake. And the lake represents the world around us. The world around us is ungodly. The world around us is full of sin. The world around us is trying to take us from us. And we are floating up to our eyeballs in this as we live in the world. And then there's the boat in the middle of this lake. And there's people fishing on the boat, and they cast out, and hopefully they hook you. Because what they're doing is they're spreading the message that we need to know. They're spreading the good news from the boat. And if I grab hold of the bait, I allow them to reel me in without fighting too much and breaking the line, I'll get in to the point to where I begin to understand what they're trying to teach me. But I have to choose to get into the boat myself. This is the way I see it. Like I said, I'm a little weird. The boat is representative of God. God is above the water. God can go anywhere if he wants to in this world that I have created in my mind. And so God is the boat. And those people that are fishing are those that have been saved, that are reaching out to other people who need to be saved. Remember, the water that's bobbing up and down that I'm in represents the sin. Behind the boat, there's a ski rope. And I call up, I said, I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I want you to save me. Reach out and grab hold of the handle. Put on the skis of salvation. Reach out and grab hold of the handle. Now, it's up to me to do that. I have to choose whether I am going to reach out and grab the handle. Whether I am going to take hold of and really, truly want to be rescued, to be pulled up out of the water of sin. And so I do. And the ski rope represents, the handle represents Jesus. I have to take hold of Jesus. I have to have faith that if I hold on tight to Jesus, that Jesus is going to pull me up out of sin. I have to believe that Jesus is my lifeline to be rescued, to be saved. And so I reach out and I grab hold of the handle, and they said, okay, sit back, keep your eyes straight forward so you can, don't look off to the left, don't look off to the right, because you'll fall. You know, and when you're ready, you just say, hit it, and we're going to go. So when I'm ready, I hold my something just right, I say, hit it. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, the power, the motor on the back of the boat just revs, takes off, and all of a sudden, I'm up out of the water. And I'm going around this lake, and I'm rescued from the waters around me, and I keep my eyes forward, I'm looking forward at Jesus, I'm looking at the boat, and the power is going and keeping me, is what's keeping me up out of the water. It's the Holy Spirit. That's the way I imagine the way God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit works in simplified terms. That God is the creator. Jesus is the Savior that we take hold of. And the Holy Spirit is the power that makes it all possible. That's what we're going to look at today. Now, because of this, those who belong to Christ will not suffer the punishment of sin. The power of the Holy Spirit has made me free from the power of sin and death. This power is mine because I belong to Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit has made me free. Key word there. Holy Spirit and power. It is the action of God. And what does it do? It has the power to free us from sin and from death. Because I belong to Jesus Christ. The law cannot make me free from the power of sin and death. It was weak because it had to work within a weak human being. But God sent his own Son And he came to earth in the body of flesh, which could be tempted to sin, as we in our bodies can be tempted to sin. He gave himself to take away sin. By doing that, he took away the power that sin had over us. So not only does the Holy Spirit have power, sin is a very powerful thing. And we are born, from the time we are born, as we grow, sin is all around us. And that power is working on us every minute of every day. In that way, Jesus died for us. What the law said had to be done. We do not do what our sinful old selves tell us to do anymore. Now we do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Now we do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 is the first mention of the Spirit of God. The Spirit moved upon the face of the water. The power of God, the Spirit creating the world that God called into existence through that power, through that Spirit. We see examples of it all the way throughout the Scriptures. Those who let their sinful old selves tell them what to do live under that power of the sinful old self. But those who let the Holy Spirit tell them what to do are under His power. There's that freedom of choice that we have. There is that God-given freedom that comes with being a Christian. We have the freedom to choose. I had the freedom to choose to reach out and grab hold of that lifeline. You had that same option. You had the same option. If you're not a Christian, you have the option to listen, to learn, and to reach out and take hold of it. What our own spirit as human beings, what our fleshly spirit tells us to do, and what we choose to follow is our choice. And there's only two. Follow our old self, sinful self, or follow the Holy Spirit and follow His power. If your old, simple old self is the boss over your mind, and we're talking about what we think and what we are, right? It's the boss over our mind. It leads to death. But the Holy Spirit is the boss over your mind. It leads to life and peace. I think I moved my table a little bit. There you go. Life and peace. The mind that thinks only of the way to think of its own sinful self is fighting against God. You ever think of it that way? When you choose to sin, you are, in essence, fighting against God. And that's a fight we know we can't win. It is not able to obey God's law. It never can. Those who do what the sinful old self wants cannot please God. But you who are not doing what the old sinful self wants you to do, you are doing what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. If you have God's Spirit living within you. No one belongs to Christ if he does not have Christ's Spirit in him. I'll say that again. No one belongs to Christ if they do not have Christ's Spirit in them. Because that's the power that convicts. That's the power that draws us even closer to God. If Christ is in you, your spirit lives because you are right with God. And yet your body is dead because of sin. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. If that same Holy Spirit lives in you, He will give life to your body in the same way. Have you ever thought of it that way? It was the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It was the power of God. And He says, and He will do with our bodies the same way. He has the power to raise us up from death. So then, Christian brothers, we are not to do what our simple old self wants us to do. If you do what your simple old self wants you to do, you will die in sin. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you destroy those actions to which the body can be led, you will have life. All those who are led by the Holy Spirit are sons of God. If you let the Holy Spirit guide you, we can talk about turning our lives over to God and letting God control us and letting God do us, but do we really believe that? Do we really say, do we ever ask the Holy Spirit to show us where we need to go, what we need to do? You know, as we read God's Word, show me what this means. Because it's a promise that He's given us. You should not act like people are owned by someone. We call those slaves, right? They are always afraid. Instead, the Holy Spirit makes us sons, and we can call Him my Father. For the Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells our spirit that we are children of God. Our spirit, two spirits talked about right here. The Holy Spirit, the power of God, and our spirit, our fleshly human spirit. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, He tells us, you're a child of God. God loves you. God wants you. God wants to be a part of your life. If we are children of God, we receive everything He has promised us. We will share with Christ in all things God has given to Him. You ever thought about that? We will share in all the things that God has given to Christ. You know, when we read about Christ, when we look up to Christ, and we see the things that God has given to Christ, can you imagine that God would give those things to us as well? Christ is sitting at His right hand. But there's a but here. We must share His suffering if we are to share His shining greatness. I like the way this translation puts it. We must share His suffering. You know, God didn't make it easy on Christ either. Christ's life was not, in this world, was not pleasurable. He had his friends. He had his mission. He had his job. He had his Father. He had faith. But he still suffered. We have faith through the Holy Spirit, but we still can expect that we're going to have to suffer, because even Christ, the Son of God, suffered in this world. This world is not for our pleasure. This world is about where we prepare to live for God. I'm sure that our suffering now cannot be compared to the shining greatness that He's going to give us. Everything that's been made in this world is waiting for the day when God will make His sons known. Okay. Even the suffering that we suffer here cannot even be imagined how much greater it's going to be. Everything that has been made in this world is weak. It is not the world, it is not the world wanted it to be that way. God allowed it to be that way. Yet there is H-O-P-E, hope. Hope. Everything that has been made in the world will be set free from the power that can destroy. These will become free, just as the children of God become free. We know that everything on earth cries out with pain, the same as a woman giving birth to a child. We also cry inside ourselves, even we who have received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the first of God's gifts to us. We are waiting to become His complete sons when our bodies are made free. The Holy Spirit is only the first gift to us from God, to those that believe, to those whose faith brings hope. And He says, well, when our bodies are made complete, we're going to receive a new body, we're going to receive a perfect body, we're going to receive a completeness, and we are going to be freed from this world. We were saved with this hope ahead of us. Now, hope means we are waiting for something that we do not have. How can man hope for something he already has? But if we hope for something we do not yet see, we must learn how to wait for it. You know, I can remember as a little child, when you know we got Christmas coming up, I can remember the anticipation of Christmas morning. As the days grew closer, And the time came for Christmas morning when I knew I would wake up in the morning and I was going to run down and there were going to be presents underneath the tree. And I could hardly wait for it. I couldn't. There were times that I actually snuck down ahead of time. Don't tell my parents. But I snuck down ahead of time just to take a peek at what's under the tree and try to figure out, maybe that's for me, and maybe that one's for me. And I was just so excited. But if we hope for something we do not yet see, we must learn how to wait for it. I had to learn how to wait for those presents. It was hard. If we truly love God, if we truly believe the promises of God, we are so excited. It's hard for us to wait for it. We want to go right now. I know. I felt that way at times. I just wish God would come right now. I can hardly wait. Instead, we have to learn how to wait for it. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us where we are weak. We do not know how to pray or what we should pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays to God for us with sound that cannot be put into words. It says that when we truly desire God, that we don't even know how to ask God for what God can give. His blessings are so great that the Holy Spirit has to talk for us, has to go up there and plead, intercede, it says in some translations, on our behalf before God in ways that we don't even understand. And the power of the Holy Spirit does that for us. God knows the hearts of men. He knows what the Holy Spirit is thinking. The Holy Spirit prays for those who belong to Christ the way God wants them to pray. We know that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love Him and are chosen to be part of His plan. God knew from the very beginning who had put their trust in Him. So He chose them, made them to be like His Son. Christ was first, and all those who belong to God are His brothers. He called them to Himself. Also, He calls those He chose. Those He called, He made right with Himself. Then He shared His shining greatness with those He made right with Himself. I really understand this concept pretty well, because He's not saying that you were picked to be among the saved before the beginning of time. You know, the gathering has picked you to be saved. He picked Jesus to be our Savior, is what He did. He predestined us through Jesus Christ, through our faith in Jesus Christ, to be His children, so that we could be adopted into the family of God. When I was adopted, you know, I had a new family. Whoever I was brought into the world by no longer existed to me. I had a new family. I was given a new name, Matthew. Emily was teasing me the other night about that. She sent me a birthday card because we were talking about guys and girls' names. You remember this, Diane? Guys and girls' names that mean the same thing. And she said, well, Chris, if you'd have been a girl, your name would have been Leslie. And I said, well, my foster parents, before I was adopted, named me Terry. That's one of those kind of names, too. So Emily sent me a birthday wish saying, happy birthday, Terry, from Emily and Leslie. It was very cute. But I was given a new name. Matthew. Charles, my dad's name. Matthew Charles. I was adopted into that family. And it has meant so much to me. And God has adopted us to His family because we mean so much to Him. He cares about us. He loves us. And this power, this Holy Spirit, dwells in each one of us from the promise that He gave us that, you know, when Jesus ascended to heaven, He told the disciples that He was going to send them, going away to the city, and He was going to send them a comforter, He was going to send them something special from Him, and they went in there, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in and it filled them with power, because that's what the Holy Spirit is power. And they began to preach and began to teach. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. We're going to look at the freedoms. Next time we're going to look at the freedoms that come from the Holy Spirit. You know, talking here that the Holy Spirit has set us free. We're going to talk about some of those freedoms are next time. I want to conclude with this. Revelation 22, verse 17. The Holy Spirit and the bride. Of course, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. The bride is the Son of God. Says, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who thirsts for God come. Let the one who drinks, wants to drink the water of life, drink it, because it's free. It's a free world. If you have not tasted the water of life, and you want to taste it, it's the free gift of God. If you have tasted it, and you just have something on your heart that you want to confess to the group, or you would like to tell one of the members here to speak on your behalf, you can do that as well. But we're going to stand and sing if you have, and if you want to share your joy with anybody, you're welcome to come up and just share your joy as we stand and sing.
Designate someday in the year to celebrate that child's birthday. But since the world is focused on Christ and we are Christians and followers of Christ, I think that we should be focused on Christ and his birth. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for you all the people.
Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."